This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Viraj
and Christine Wong.
We will have a Bursa update in a few moments when we can get around to it, because we have a bit of a technical issue here in the studio. As soon as we've sorted that out, Arvind will be giving you those numbers, because I know he's excited about doing it.
Fingers crossed.
We are asking you that question of, where do you consume your entertainment content? Whether or not it's via TV, including satellite and cable, via streaming services, via YouTube or other services. And the numbers so far are
50.3% for streaming, 5.7% for TV, 38.4% for YouTube, and 5.7% for others.
With around 160 votes so far, majority, of course, they're on streaming services, whether it's Netflix or indeed YouTube. What about over on Instagram, Chris?
On Instagram, we have a number of responses here. We've got Bowen for Me that says Netflix. We've got Juita Mash, who says 90% streaming, 10% satellite. Ralph.u just says home. I don't quite know what that means.
He means all of them.
Great.
Yeah.
And mna.malbach, I think, it says YouTube.
Tsai Yao Yang has said, nothing from the TV, PC for the win. Even my TV is displaying what's on my laptop, and mobile devices is secondary. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that. Any more of those, 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram, over at BFM Radio. Of course, the question again is, where do you consume entertainment content? Do let us know off the back of that story of whether or not there is anything left to watch on TV. Apparently there still is. All eyes are from the advertisers are still there on traditional TV. Now, moving on to story number two, rather. Five tips to avoid or recover from crashes.
Yes. So one of the primary characteristics of running any business is resilience, and it's a learned skill rather than an innate trait for most people. So we have a few tips for how to avoid and bounce back from crashes and challenges, and this is all based on an article that I found on Inc.com. So tip number one is to practice and highlight your conviction to never give up. Many experts say that more startups fail simply because their founder gives up, more than any other reason. Entrepreneurs can occasionally become energized when told that they are facing an insurmountable barrier, with the satisfaction coming from proving naysayers wrong. So I think what that is saying is basically spite can be actually quite motivational.
No retreat, no surrender.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Number two, to actively seek and learn from the counsel of smart people. Some entrepreneurs, unfortunately, become more and more isolated in hard times or surround themselves only with friends and supporters. So make sure you actively interact with and show appreciation for people that are smarter than you, even if they don't always agree with you. So listening to and finding the right mentors are key. Number three, demonstrate decisiveness rather than paralysis by fear. Making any decision is almost always better in business than no decision at all. You have to look at making those decisions as a positive learning opportunity rather than a chance to fail. And every investor wants to see entrepreneurs who are willing to take responsibility for actions and get them done. When it's time to make a decision, your gut instinct should not be your only input, though. All of us probably have access to the internet, to multiple expert sources, insights, and data to support our own experience and help make us more relevant and timely decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, maintain an optimistic rather than pessimistic outlook. Optimism is a mindset fueled by confidence in yourself and an ability to gather and filter knowledge. Confidence is built by finding your purpose, playing to your strengths, and taking tough challenges and small steps to show progress. And it also helps to emulate the success of others with similar goals. However, do not be lulled into thinking that optimism is a personality trait. It can be learned. You need to just really look for your successes and reward yourself for your progress. And also with the mentorship, you can use a mentor to steer you in the right direction as well. Number five is use metrics instead of feelings to measure progress. Don't let your feelings get you down with no quantification of what failed or what you need to do to come back. People who set quantified goals and objectives for themselves and their teams and measure their results always know where they stand, and so are not surprised by feedback from others. Another thing is, you need to pay attention to your physical needs and feelings as well. Try to maintain a healthy balance between business and personal demands, including family, sleep, and time off for enjoyable activities. Make sure that you take the time to internalize the strength that comes from struggling and the insights that come from failure.
That point there, number four, of maintain an optimistic rather than a pessimistic outlook. We were talking about it earlier, but the Axios interview with Trump a couple of days ago, mm-hmm. Where the guy talks to him about the power of positive thinking, and mm-hmm. It's okay to have a positive outlook on things, but sometimes, like it says there, not to be led by a false sense of security and an overconfidence and things. And that was kind of really telling, as somebody who's only like, yeah, we're doing all of these great things, mm-hmm. everything's really great, but there's time every now and again to focus on things that are not necessarily
for like pragmatism.
You got to be pragmatic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it just seems that he just seemed to be overly positive, in that particular interview.
There's being optimistic and then there's being in denial. So be careful about that.
I think goes back to the second one. So you actively seek and learn from the counsel of smart people, which I think a lot of people don't do because a lot of people don't like to admit that there are people smarter than them.
Or that they could be wrong about something.
Yeah. I forget the names, but there are a couple of quotes from people, extremely intelligent people, who said that if they had thought that they were the smartest people in the room, they would never have gotten better.
Right.
So it's like always assume someone's smarter than you, or be in a room where you know that people around you are smarter than yourself.
Oftentimes, the most learning experiences for me have been when I've been in a room and I've been silenced. I've not felt that need to talk.
Very humbling.
Yeah, so I can actually sit and listen and learn from people who know far more than I do. Mm-hmm. And it's really that moment when you're not trying to fill space just by, talk. It's like, this guy really knows what they're talking about. Or this woman really knows what they're talking about, and I'm learning from them.
This is going to be so... I don't know how much I should reveal about myself, but do you sometimes play dumb with people who you want to learn from? So let's say you know something, you're good at something, but you're speaking to someone who you know is an expert or might know more.
What's that, expert in air quotes?
No, an actual expert.
Okay.
Yeah. So you kind of downplay your own knowledge, mm-hmm. because you want to absorb more.
What do you mean by that, Arvind? Can you go into more detail about that?
It means that you don't want to be the one who's constantly talking. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Of course. I mean, there are times when you... It depends also on whether or not you're talking about creating content, or whether or not you are talking about just being in conversation, right?
Yeah.
For times when we are creating content, obviously, what some of our guests might not be aware of is that we do an awful lot of research into the stuff that we're talking about or learning about. So we do know, for the most part, a little bit. And so when they talk about things, it's for the benefit of the audience that we... suggest that we are less knowledgeable than we are.
Mm-hmm.
But also when in conversation with people, yes, I think there's a need for that in society as well, because people like to think that they know a little bit better, right? They mm-hmm. know a little bit more. And I think in some ways it's the humble thing to do, mm-hmm. to allow somebody to kind of share their knowledge with you without the need to necessarily correct them. Or, when they've
said... Or keep interjecting.
Like you've just done. When, they're not necessarily doing something right. Right?
Yeah. And I think also the metrics thing is super important. I think I'm quite an emotional person myself, in case you can't tell from the fact that my tone of voice gets very excitable as well. But I think keeping in mind the metrics and sort of having that practical view on things and that lens on things can really shift things into perspective.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a short break then. That question again, where do you consume entertainment content? Is it via TV, streaming services, YouTube, or another? Let us know if you want to take part in the poll. That's happening over on Twitter right now, at BFM Radio. WhatsApp 01878988899. And of course, Instagram is the same handle, at BFM Radio. We're going to take a short break and listen to some Elvis Costello with The Beat. Hopefully when we get back, we might be able to give you the update from Bursa. No guarantees, though. Short break. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.